Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This program is brought to you each week by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, as well as the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Welcome to the program, everyone. This is a live call-in talk show, and I want to remind you of the number. It's 254-445-2473. 254-445-2473. And if you want to email us, you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we would love to hear from you, whether you agree, whether you don't agree. We want to hear from you as we go through our radio show here. I want you to take your books and go to the book of Mark, your Bibles, take them and turn them to the book of Mark in chapter 6. We're going to digress just a little bit. We are advancing in our study of the book of Mark as to who Jesus is. And while you're turning to Mark chapter 6, I would like to remind all of our listening audience that we need to keep these people of Haiti in our prayers.
Amen.
They are in dire need of lots of things, and especially our prayers. And we want you to keep them in your prayers as well. I am here today. I'm David Harris, and here today with my co-host Kerry Clark, and we're thrilled to be here with you. And we've been talking about who is Jesus and asking the question. A lot of different opinions have come through the times, and we want to set the record straight because you have heard what men have had to say, and now we want you to hear what the Bible has to say. And that is our mission here on this Harrison Clark Expedition, to show you where in the Bible it says what we ought to be doing. Now, we've almost finished our series on this life of Christ. We have striven to show what kind of man that Jesus was while he was here on this earth. And we have seen that he was a man of prayer, a man of logic, he was impartial, he was certainly a man of power, he is our dearest friend, he was a man of peace, he did everything well, he had his proper values, he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he was a servant of all, he was a man of principle, a man of firmness, a man of vigilance, a man of discernment, and last week we see and saw, and for the last 2 weeks, we've been discussing the fact that Jesus Christ is a man who could be hindered by humans, not his power, but his mission. And so today we're going to look at Jesus Christ, a man of compassion, and we were going right on into Mark chapter 16 to show that Jesus was a man of compassion, but then we had a question. And so we're going to back up, and I'm going to let Kerry read Mark chapter 6, beginning there in verses 33, and he's going to read a couple of verses there. And this is going to deal with the beginning of the feeding of the 5,000. And we're going to see the compassion of Jesus Christ here and what kind of man he truly is. Kerry, would you read that passage for us, please?
Yes, friends, if you have your Bible, and I know that some of you may be driving, but if you have the opportunity, we'd love for you to grab your Bible and read along with us in Mark chapter 6. Beginning in verse number 33, it says, "And the people saw them departing," of course that's Jesus and the apostles, "saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." David, you know very clearly our Lord is a man of compassion. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're to follow in his steps. Mm-hmm. And so if we're going to be a people of compassion, then we've got to do what Jesus did.
Absolutely.
And the question that we received simply says, "I was scolded by an individual for supporting war and warmongers And war was immoral, and anyone that states that they support these actions is worse than those doing it. She says, I would love to hear an answer concerning this matter from the Bible's point of view. And by the way, I might point out she had posted something. I don't know if it was on Facebook or what, but so it generated the question that she was scolded for supporting war and warmongers, and they said that war was immoral, and anyone that states support these actions is worse than the ones doing them. David, that leads to a question, and the question is, can a person be a compassionate Christian and still support our military? So that's, friends, that's what we're going to be addressing in our question today. Can a Christian, or can a person be a compassionate Christian and support the military? And David, obviously, you and I are going to be in agreement on this, and, mm-hmm. and our answer is going to be yes.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it doesn't matter, as David pointed out a moment ago, it doesn't matter what I believe, doesn't matter what David believes. It's, can we go to the Word of God and sustain that position? Can we go to the Bible and show where a person can be a person of compassion and yet support the military? And David, we're probably going to even go a step further and deal with, can a Christian be in the military? But I'll turn it back right. to you right now.
Well, you know, when we look at Jesus, and we're looking at this man of compassion, when he saw the needs of the people, he took care of the needs of the people. And here in this passage that you just read just a moment ago, Carrie, he saw the needs of the people. He had to feed them. And so he did. He fed them. And when he saw the needs of those that were suffering, he alleviated their suffering. When he saw their ailments, he alleviated those ailments. And when he saw relationships, he gave us laws and words whereby we could make these relationships work. He gave us the laws of marriage. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, we are told there that he gave us an example that we should follow his steps as a compassionate people. Now you have heard what men have said. Now let's see what the Bible has to say here. But I would like to preface this one thing before we even get into what the Bible has to say here. Now, Carrie, if you were driving down the highway and you saw a woman changing a flat tire, would you stop and help her?
Absolutely.
And that would be an act of compassion.
Yes.
And if you saw a helpless individual being beaten by several people, would you stop and help that individual, or would you just go by and make out like you didn't see it?
Well, David, my personal thing, I would call 911, but I would stop and then help to alleviate that person's pain, as it were.
Certainly, and that would also be an act of compassion.
Yes.
And then if you saw a woman being abused, would you not, out of compassion, offer assistance to help that woman?
Well, we couldn't. How could we be a Christian and not help that person?
Exactly. So then, if you ran into a government or found a government that was actually murdering innocent men, women, and children, would you just make out like nothing was going on there as a person and as part of a nation?
Well, David, again, you know, when we turn and look at the life of Christ and we see the compassion of Christ, I would have to say that we as individuals would have to do our best to stop a government from murdering innocent men, women, and children.
Absolutely.
As a Christian and as an American, I believe we would need to intervene.
And also, we've talked about this. There's a lot of confusion concerning this, and there is a lot of disagreement confusing or concerning what we're talking about here. You and I have no problem agreeing that yes, we would support our military. And by the way, I had an opportunity to talk to this young lady. Preface that young lady, and she actually all she said initially was that I want to stand behind the troops. I want to stand behind my military.
Yes.
And she was showing her patriotism in doing this. And that's when she was jumped on and scolded by this individual that said that she was worse than the individuals who were the warmongers by doing so. And so what we want to do is now show what the Bible has to say about this. And I know you want to bring in some things that would be that would maybe even alleviate some of the controversy on this.
Well, you know, David, I want to begin with the idea of compassion. And as we read the question, by the way, we didn't read the whole thing. We just read the question part. But the person who wrote this question, in my mind, showed no compassion whatsoever for a fellow Christian. I assume this went on between two Christians.
You mean the one that gave the answer?
The one that wrote to this lady had no compassion in the way he addressed her by calling her a warmonger, by saying that she was supporting war and that war was immoral, and if you support the troops, then your actions are worse than those that are doing. Where is the compassion in that question?
None whatsoever. But what we have here is what men have said.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Now let's take it from there and see what God has to say. And I know that you want to bring something in that we find in Romans chapter 14. And maybe you would like to address that at the top of this.
Yes. And by the way, friends, we want you to be a part of this discussion. So give us a call at 254-445-2473. You know, David, there are obviously certain things that as a Christian studying the Word of God that I am going to have to sit down. I'm going to have to reason that out and come to a conclusion on where I stand on a particular issue, because obviously the Bible leaves some things up to our own understanding. And so we've got to reason some things out, and then we must stand on what we believe. In Romans chapter 14, there is a discussion the Apostle Paul is writing about two Christians. One is a vegetarian, and the other eats meat. And apparently there was quite a dispute in this area about this question. And so Paul said that you're going to have to go in, study the Bible, and come to your own conclusion. And he says in verse number 7 of Romans chapter 14, none of us live to ourselves, and no man dies to himself. And then he says this, listen to Romans 14 and verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in anything which he alloweth, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If I understand, even though the Bible tells us we can eat meat, there was a person that for their conscience sake had come to the conclusion they were not going to eat meat. And so Paul said, in a question of this nature, then that individual will stand before God and they will give an account. And this brother that eats meat is not to force his understanding upon the person who is a vegetarian. And by the way, all you PETA folks that are listening, if you're a vegetarian, you're not to force your ideas upon me. So there is this area in which there is some Christian liberty that's involved, and I've got to come to my own conclusion and understand where I am going to stand on this particular position. I am of the persuasion, David, that this applies to someone who is either in the military, in the police force, that if a Christian has the position that they don't believe that a Christian can do that, then they need to go to Romans chapter 14 and understand, I have studied this. I have come to the conclusion that I believe it's okay for a Christian to be in the military, to be in the police, and that's where I'm going to stand, and I'm going to give biblical reasons why I do that. I believe we already have a caller coming in, and we appreciate that. If you don't mind, give us your first name, and then if you would, give us your question or your comment.
Yes, sir. This is Robin, and I happen to be the one that the question was asked to.
Well, hello, Robin.
Hi. And I just want to tell y'all first that I appreciate y'all covering this tonight, because I really think it's important to our community and to our state, to our nation, that all of us know that it is our place as Christians to take part and support our veterans, our troops, anyone that is willing to lay their life down to keep our freedoms so we're able to be Christians in this country. And for those of all that think that we should not support our troops, I hope they can pay attention and learn something from this. And I hope to learn from it too, so I can be a better Christian, a better example for everyone to do what they should do as citizens and as Christians.
Well, thank you for calling, Robin.
Yeah,
we appreciate that very, very much. And y'all keep up the good work on your end, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you much.
Okay. Well, right. Carrie, one of the keys in chapter 14 is, for none of us lives to himself and no man dies to himself.
Right.
And what that means is that what you or I do is going to have a direct influence on somebody. We're going to affect somebody's life.
That's right.
By the things that we do. And for this reason, the caution is thrown out here. Don't cause your brother to stumble.
Yes.
In this sense. And so when we look at this, and as you mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to have to be in full force behind this. We've got to have our faith in this. We can't be doubting what we're doing. We need to be faithful as to what we're doing. As it says there at the end of chapter 14, for whatsoever is not of faith is of sin.
That's right.
And so we've got to have it full force in our own conscience that what we are doing is right.
Yes.
And when we do that, we're going to be fine.
Yes.
We're going to be fine. What we need to do is make sure that we have it backed up with God's Word.
Amen. Amen. And so, friends, let's turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. We're in chapter 14. But in Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whoso therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake." David, very clearly, in looking at this statement in Romans chapter 13, we need to understand that when he's talking about the powers that be, the higher powers,
mm-hmm.
he's talking about civil government.
Sure.
He's talking about civil government. And David, you and I both know that as an American, we live in a country, a republic, that is based upon the Constitution of the United States of America.
Right. And when this was written here, it was the ruling power under which all of these people lived was a king.
That's
an
right.
emperor. We don't have one man as sovereign authority over our nation. What we have is the Constitution of the United States of America. That is our supreme law. It's not Barack Obama. It's not Hillary Clinton. It's not Nancy Pelosi. What it is the Constitution of the United States of America. That is our supreme law. And so here, what you just got through reading, where it says the higher powers, we're talking about the Constitution.
That's exactly right.
When we're talking about the ruler, we're talking about the Constitution here.
That's right.
And we are talking about what the Constitution allows for us to have.
Yes.
Now, it just so happens that our Constitution allows for us to have a military.
That's right.
And I believe that is Article 1, Section
8.
8?
Yes.
Article 1, Section 8 that allows that to happen. And so we have this given to us by God in this Constitution, in the form of this Constitution, because this is our supreme power. I think it's very interesting to note that in verse number 6, where you just got through reading, it says, "For this cause pay ye tribute also." For what cause? For that protection that comes under the military.
Yes.
And so our taxes actually pay the tribute for this, and we are told to pay the tribute for they, and that would be the Constitution and the higher powers. They are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing, and it is for our protection.
Yes.
What a marvelous passage of Scripture to back up the Constitution.
That's exactly right. Friends, we're up against a break, so we're going to take a break for just a moment. We do want to remind you to give us a call at 254-445-2473. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this evening. I'm Kerry Clark, and I have with me David Harris. This is a live call-in talk show, so we want to encourage you to call us at 254-445-2473, or you can send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. And if you've been with us, we're talking about a question that was given to us by one of the listeners, and she had posted something. I assume it's on Facebook. I don't know for sure, but it says that she was scolded by an individual for supporting war. She said, "I support our troops," on this posting. She was scolded by an individual for supporting war and warmongers, and the person went on to say that war was immoral and that anyone that states that they support these actions is worse than those who are doing it. And we pointed out that Jesus from Mark chapter 6 is a man of compassion. And we talked about the compassion of a Christian in a circumstance where we see someone who has a flat tire. The compassionate individual is going to stop and assist them. If we see a person that is helpless being beaten up, we're going to stop and help them. If we see a woman that is being abused, then we're going to stop and render aid to that woman.
Amen.
And so we pointed out, by the very same token, that governments exist because God has put them there, and they have certain responsibilities. And David, in Romans chapter 13, in verse number 3, the Bible says, "For rulers," and if you were with us before the break, we pointed out that since we are citizens of the United States of America, and that's where we're coming from with this question, that we are under the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution has as a part in Article 1, Section 8, that the Congress is going to establish that there's going to be a military and so forth. And so within the U.S. Constitution, there is the fact that there is a military. And what is the purpose of that military? And that's outlined in the Constitution.
Right.
And it says in Article 2, I believe it is, I don't remember the section, maybe Section 1, Article 2, Section 2, the President is the Commander-in-Chief. But David, notice this, I bring that up because it says, for rulers, we're talking about those that are guided by the Constitution of the United States, this is Romans 13:3, are not a terror to good works, but to evil. God put government there, David, to protect innocent life.
Absolutely. That is what this Constitution is about. And by the way, our founding fathers, they were deeply steeped in religious training, religious knowledge of God's Word when they put this Constitution together. It's a fabulous piece of work. Six pages.
Yeah.
6 pages can run a nation for 200 years.
If we
will just stick with what the Constitution has to say. And so, and like, as you pointed out there, not a terror to good works, but to evil works. Now,
that
tells us a lot, doesn't it, Kerry?
Well, yeah. It tells us that if we are doing right, he says, you're going to receive praise from the
mm-hmm.
government. If you're doing evil, then you better be afraid. And then he said in verse 4 that he, that is the ruler, talking about, in this instance, the United States Constitution. It is a minister of God to thee for good. He says, for if thou doest that which is evil, be afraid, for he, that is the government, that is our Constitution, bears not the sword in vain. Friends, a sword is a weapon that is designed to kill people.
Right.
And our government has every right to execute certain individuals. That is within the realm of Scripture. That's within the realm of the Constitution. David, I would go so far as to say that our government is way too lax in using the sword.
And I think to our detriment.
Yes.
I think absolutely to our detriment. You know, this is not the only passage that we have here. If it were the only passage that we had, Kerry, it would be enough.
That's right.
But it's not the only passage that we have. And for those of you who have your Bibles, I would ask that you please turn them to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse number 13. And this is addressed to Christians, and it says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme," and in our case it would be the Constitution, "or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him," that would be God, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do will. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men," the ignorance of people who are not law-abiding, actually,
yes,
you might say.
Yes.
What an amazing couple of passages of Scripture here that shows us that we can defend ourselves against tyranny.
Yes.
Against tyranny.
And David, I'm going to go out on a limb on this, and I didn't think about it till just now, so David and I didn't even discuss this before we came over. But David, it's my understanding from these Scriptures that the government that is in existence right now in the United States has gone beyond the Word of God, and they've gone beyond the Constitution. And I'm not talking about Republican, Democrat. I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about the whole mess that we see how going on right now.
Absolutely.
In Washington, D.C. I believe they've gone way beyond what the Constitution allows and what the Bible allows. And David, as you said a moment ago, it has been to our detriment. The Constitution tells us that we have life, liberty, the freedom, the liberty to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And the government has gotten in the way, in my estimation.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, Kerry, when we're looking at the Constitution, we're looking at a body of law.
Mm-hmm.
Lawlessness is the last thing that a country wants to happen.
That's right.
Lawlessness. Now, when we look over here at a nation, let's just pick one, Haiti.
Yeah.
Right now, Haiti is in absolute and total disarray.
Yes.
Right now, they are in a state of lawlessness.
Yeah.
Now, what have we done, Kerry? What have we done as a nation of compassion? What did we do? Did we not send people and our military and funds, and did we not send food and medication, and did we not send the military over there to restore law?
Yes.
And that is an act of compassion.
And by the way, this guy who, and I assume it was a guy who wrote this comment to Robin.
Yes.
About supporting the military, he has said that what we are doing in sending our military over there to help restore the government, the legitimate government that is supposed to exist there, but because of this terrible tragedy has gone into disarray, he's saying we're immoral, if I understand the question.
That's exactly what he said.
We're immoral to send our military over there. See, folks, our military doesn't just go out in times of war. They go out and assist in times of tragedy. We've sent our military in our own country, down to Louisiana, to New Orleans, when they had the hurricane down there. We've sent our military into places recently when we had this horrible string of bad winter weather. The military was out there actively helping civilians. And so, you know, I don't even know that this guy understands the purpose of the military to begin
with.
Well,
this, every bit of it is an act of compassion.
That's right.
Now you move from Haiti to Iraq. What was going on in Iraq? People were being murdered. Innocent men, women, and children were being murdered. And we sent, as an act of compassion, we sent our military over there to stop it. And what happened was we had a bunch of bleeding heart liberals that wanted to jump out there and say that it was immoral and that what we were doing was wrong. We even have this lady right now named Cindy Sheehan. She is still up in an uproar about this. But just because people make waves doesn't make them right. What we've got to do is go back to the Bible and find out what Christ would do. Christ would not stand by and allow innocent women and children to be murdered and mutilated and say nothing, because he was a man of compassion.
Well, that's exactly right, friends. We want to encourage you to get into this discussion as well. So give us a call at 254-445-2473. And friends, David mentioned a moment ago us going into Iraq, and Saddam Hussein was the ruler of Iraq, and he had a couple of sons. I think one was Usay and Uday. I can't remember what their name were. And they, David, they were famous for feeding people into plastic shredders alive. That was one of the ways that they got at individuals. From what I've studied in history, if one of these guys was walking down the street, David, and you and your bride just came out of course, over there it would be a mosque. You know, you're getting married. You walk out and one of these guys saw your wife and he desired her, then he would take your wife and kill you. Now, what kind of compassion can we have to sit by and see this kind of thing take place over and over again, and if it doesn't move us to want to help, I don't know what it is.
Well, Kerry, I have a real hard time understanding what the media of this country has done to the people of this country.
Yes.
The media is not reporting actual facts anymore. They are slanting things to their direction, whatever their direction happens to be, whether it's one side or the other. What this America needs is a media that will just report it like it is. Just
yes.
Tell it like it is and let us be able to evaluate the information that we get. But time after time after time after time, I have talked or heard people that have come back from Iraq and they are not telling the same story that you hear in the media. Everybody over there in Iraq is more than thankful for the compassion of the United States of America that they are actually liberated from this hate monger, from this body shredder, from this mutilator that has mass killed numerous thousands upon thousands of individuals just because he could.
Yeah. David, and I know that you're aware of this, but, you know, I have a son that's over there right now. This is his second tour over there, and he has sent us pictures from when he was going over there, and they'd be traveling in a convoy, and the street is literally lined with little children, and as the American soldiers drive by, they're throwing candy out to these little children. And it got to be, it was a security hazard because so many kids were coming, that they had to stop throwing out candy. But, you know, David, I agree with what you said. The majority, from what I understand, and I've talked to not only my son, but other men that have come back and women that have come back from there. And for the most part, the Iraqi people love us and they're glad that we're there. There is a small minority that are causing tensions,
mm-hmm.
and blowing innocent civilians up and so forth. But from what I understand, the vast majority of the Iraqi people are glad for what we've done. Now, friends, we want to encourage you to call us at 254-445-2473. If you disagree with us, we will guarantee you that we will be compassionate in our discussion with you. But if you don't agree with what we've said, if you are a pacifist, we would like for you to call in and state your case about why you hold to that position. And obviously, David, we want Bible to back that up.
Absolutely.
If you've got Bible to back that up, then we want to hear from you. We're not going to make the arguments for you. We want to hear from you. And if you believe that, then give us a call. David, I've got a scripture that I think that may have something to do with the discussion that we're talking about. This individual pointed out in his email or whatever it was to Robin that war is immoral.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, David, you and I would agree that war is immoral because it takes someone in an act of aggression to start a war.
Right.
Someone decides that you've got land that I want to take from you. And so they invade a foreign country, much like Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted what they had, and as an act of war, he aggressively went in and took that land from the people of Kuwait. David, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that there is a time of peace and a time of war. God understands that there is going to be war because human beings, being what they are, there are always going to be those individuals who are going to go out and they're going to try to take something that does not belong to them. So there will always be war, friends.
Right. And let me interrupt you right here. In that aggressive state that Iraq was in when they took that when they invaded Kuwait, as an act of compassion, again, the United States of America went over there and rescued the Kuwaitis, because they had no way to protect themselves. They had absolutely no way of protecting themselves from this man whatsoever. And here again comes into play the passage of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 14, where we have the two objects of government. It says, "Or unto governors as to unto them that are sent by God, for, number one, the punishment of evildoers, and number two, for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God, that is, with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Now, I have another passage of Scripture I'd like to bring out here, Kerry, also, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, notice here what he's talking about, the penal portion of a law. And he says, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, and the disobedient, and the ungodly, and for sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, and manslayers." And he goes on to talk about what all this law is made for. But here again you have the objective of compassion and of law. We go all the way back into the law of Moses. That law was put there for the protection of the people.
Yes, yes. Friends, we're up against a break now, so we're going to take a short break. We do want you to call 254-445-2473. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Welcome back to the Harris and Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and here with me tonight is Kerry Clark, and this is a live call-in radio talk show, and we do hope that we are giving some information tonight from the Bible that maybe many of you were unaware of, but we are talking about the compassion of Jesus Christ. Now, we would love to hear your calls, and 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. That's 254-445-2473. Now, we have been looking at Jesus, a man of compassion, and we have seen that Jesus, when there was a need, if there was a need for food, he gave it. When there was a need to alleviate suffering and ailments, he gave it. When there was a need for developing relationships, he gave a law for marriages and whatnot. And we are told in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 that he is our example, that we should follow his steps. And the steps of compassion is what we are talking about here. Now, the question that was given at the first of this program is, can a person be a compassionate Christian and support our military? And we had a young lady by the name of Robin that gave us an answer that she posted upon her blog or upon her Facebook, and she was actually scolded for backing up the troops and called immoral for doing so and a warmonger. And we read from Romans chapter 14 or Romans chapter 13 and the first six verses. We read also in 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 13, 14, and 15, given the purpose of government. And I want to go back over that Romans chapter 13, especially verses 3 and 4. And we live under the Constitution of the United States of America. That is our supreme law. It is our supreme rule. And says, for rulers are not a terror unto good works, but unto evil works. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. For he, and that is our rulers and the government that operate under this Constitution, for he is the minister of God to you for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. For he, the Constitution and the government, is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that do evil. And so it is a law-keeping function that we have here, that our United States Constitution, that by the way, has the power to declare war.
That's right.
And so, Kerry, I want to pass this to you because we're looking at Jesus Christ, a man of compassion, and we're also looking at making sure that this man that carries the sword, that is under the ruler that God put there, is the one that is going to administer law with that sword. Now, the sword, we've already mentioned, is a utensil. It is a weapon that is to be used to enforce either life or death by the use of it.
Well, David, we have in the New Testament described, obviously in the Old Testament, we have just literally bukus of information where godly men were warriors. The one that jumps out in my mind, David. David even prayed to God, teach my hands to war. He even prayed to God to destroy his enemies. So we have in the Old Testament an overwhelming amount of evidence that proves that a godly man can be a man of war. But what about the New Testament? Well, in Matthew chapter 8, the Bible says in verse number 5, Jesus entered into Capernaum, and there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and doeth it, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Here is a man who was not a Jew, and yet he had more faith in Jesus Christ than the apostles at this point.
Absolutely, than all of Israel.
All of Israel.
That's the entire nation.
And this man was a Roman soldier, a centurion, who was, we would liken him maybe to a captain in the United States military.
Mm-hmm.
This man was a high-ranking officer in the Roman military, and yet Jesus said, you have more faith than anybody that I've seen in the nation of Israel. Now, that man was a godly man, if I understand what Jesus said.
What a tremendous commendation by Jesus
wow.
to Christ. Now, if when I die, if I could just have something like that
wow.
said about me, I'd be a happy man.
Man. And you know, not only that, David, but we can turn to Acts chapter 10, and we can find another example of a soldier, again, a Roman soldier. And it says in Acts 10 and verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now, David, listen to God's description of this man.
Mm-hmm.
A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. David, here is another man who is a Roman soldier who is commended by God yet he's a soldier.
Right.
So if someone is of the persuasion that it is immoral to be a soldier, then they need to argue with the Bible, because they're not arguing with me, David. They're arguing with the Word of God.
Not only was Cornelius and this other soldier from Capernaum, not only were they Roman soldiers themselves, but they had the authority to command 100 other swords besides their own sword.
Yeah.
To do whatever it was to keep the law. And this from a man of compassion now.
Yeah.
We're getting this from a man of compassion. I would like to point out also that in Luke chapter 22.
Yes.
When he sent his apostles out in verse 35, he said, "When I sent you with a purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything?" That was the question. And they said, "Nothing." And he said unto them, But now, and now we're going to have a transition in what's going to take place, because Jesus is about to be crucified. He says, "But now, he that has a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." Now, what do you think that sword's for?
Well, David, as we pointed out, the government doesn't bear the sword in vain. The sword is an instrument to punish somebody by killing them.
Right. And to defend oneself.
And to defend oneself. But the purpose of the sword is to kill somebody.
Yes, that is that, the only
that's the purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the purpose of a pistol is to kill something.
And so you've got a sword, which is a weapon, an instrument to kill somebody, would be a very similar parallel to Jesus saying, if you're going out, you better take a pistol, because there are thieves and there are muggers out there. And you've got to defend yourself against these evil people.
Right.
Now, David, we said at the very beginning, if I see a woman being beaten or a helpless person being beaten, then I'm going to call 911 to get the police department involved. But I'm also going to step in and, to the best of my ability, try to defend that helpless individual. And I would consider that an act of compassion, and it would be compassionate to even put to death the person that is killing somebody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What we have is a total misunderstanding by a lot of people as to what this sword is for.
That's right.
It never has been ever for a decorative part of a of a uniform.
Yeah.
It is the very thing that pierces the heart. When Jesus gives us the description, or when the Holy Spirit gives us actually the description of the armor of God, the spiritual armor of the man of God,
yes.
He calls that sword the Word. The Word is the sword of the Spirit. It is that one instrument that can pierce the heart and cause actually the death of the old man, and he's going to raise up the new man. Now, in a very similar sense, when you have, if Jesus was an absolute pacifist, why in the world would he use instruments of the military to describe the war that he is fighting in a spiritual sense? And it is a war, a spiritual war, that Jesus is fighting here. But we have all kinds of information that is given to us here to bolster the idea that to back up our military is absolutely and totally valid. We mentioned, you and I talking before we came, you know, Haiti is in a very perilous situation right now.
Yes.
They have absolutely no way to defend themselves. If the United States of America were to decide today, you know, I believe Haiti would be a good addition to the United States, and they went over there and they took it, that would be an immoral act.
That's right.
But because we send our military, and we send our military to restore law and to defend law in that country until they get back on their feet, it's not immoral, but it is the moral thing to do.
Well, David, and I would like to ask those that believe that America is such an immoral country, name one country that we have invaded and took either land or their precious resources. When we liberated France, the only land that we asked for, friends, was the place to bury our dead.
That's it.
When we went into Germany, we bombed Germany to the ground, folks. If we wanted it, Europe could be ours right now from World War II. Because Germany had conquered the entire, all of Europe except for England. And then we went in and helped liberate those countries. And not only did we bomb Germany into submission, David, then we went in as an act of compassion, unheard of. We rebuilt Germany. We bombed Japan. And then we went in and built factories while our factories over here were run by individual companies and individuals who have tried to stay up with the technology of Japan. We rebuilt Japan after World War II while we left it up to our own people in the auto industry to rebuild themselves after producing all the equipment for war.
Another act of compassion.
Another act of compassion. Now, David, not only that. For those that want to squawk about us being in Iraq, friends, if we wanted to take the oil of Iraq, then we would have bombed them into oblivion and taken their oil fields. But, David, we didn't do that. The Iraqi people, right now, the last time I heard, they are paying 18 cents a gallon for their gas.
Right.
And we're paying
$3.
$3. So here is this wicked, immoral United States that went over there to get the Iraqi oil. Well, David, either we've got a bunch of blundering idiots running this thing, or you understand we did not do it as an aggressive act to take the oil or the land from these people. And, David, you know this, and I'll let you have the last. We've got just a couple of minutes left. If we wanted to, we could take Haiti right now.
Right.
But when we get done, we'll pull our military out, and we'll continue to send them aid. So whoever wrote this to Robin, I hope you're listening. And Robin, we actually record these, so you might just, if you know who this person is, just get a CD of this radio program and send it to them. David?
Absolutely. Well, one thing we want to leave you with is always is Scripture. Mm-hmm. And because our motto right here is, you have heard what men have had to say, and now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And one more time, I just want to read this one more time. And as an act of compassion, following in the footsteps of Jesus, we've got to have law. And if we don't have law, we've got total, absolute chaos and anarchy.
That's right.
And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, God, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And I hope that is what we've done today, is put to silence the ignorance of foolish men with spreading the word as God would have it to be spread. We're going to continue with this man of compassion. Where we were going to start today,
yes,
was the man of compassion in Mark chapter 16. So if you want to tune in next week, here's what it's going to be. It's going to be the man of compassion, and it's going to be all about Mark chapter 16 and the preaching of the gospel word. And
that's
we're
right.
Going to get into that. We're going to get in it very deeply, and we want to hear you. We want to have you call us, and we want to wish each and every one of you a good week, and we want to pray for each and every one of you that you would grow in the knowledge and the truth of God's Word.
And please remember those in Haiti in your prayer. God bless you as you study His divine Word.